Well, good evening, everyone, and happy Feast of Tabernacles. It is my absolute pleasure to be with you here tonight to open this Feast of Tabernacles. Actually, my wife Lydia and I should be in Columbia, South America, where I have been pastoring the last couple years, but that was canceled. The feast site there, we had to cancel that, and all the Latin American feast sites have been canceled. But I can tell you, because we've been having some virtual pastors' meetings with the Latin American pastors, that the Latin American brethren are holding up real well. There's only been a few cases of the COVID-19, and actually one of the pastors in Chile did get it, but he got well. And the brethren overall are doing fine. They are keeping the feast in small groups this year, and they will be listening to sermons that are pre-recorded and messages that will be broadcast over the internet. So it's a different year for all of us, and it gives me the opportunity to speak in English this year instead of Spanish. So, and it's also a pleasure for us because we can be with our family this year here at the feast in Gatlinburg. I did want to mention also, I don't want to take up a whole lot of time because we're all tired and we want to get our rest tonight, but this is also special for my wife Lydia and I because 28 years ago today, on October 2nd, 1992, we were married in a civil ceremony in Bahia Blanca, Argentina, the civil ceremony, and then 2 days later on Sunday, October the 4th, we were married in the church ceremony. You see, in Argentina, and probably most of the Latin American countries, they don't recognize church weddings. So you have to get married first in the civil government before a judge, and then we have the church ceremony, which we recognize. But that's the thing that we went through. So we have two anniversaries to celebrate. This one today, the civil ceremony, and the one Sunday for the church ceremony, which has more value to it. Okay, I guess we should go ahead and get started here with the sermon here this evening. According to recent statistics, the worldometers.info, there are 195 countries in the world. Although there are 193 when you take out two countries who are non-member states of the United Nations. As of July 1st, 2020, according to census.gov, China has the world's largest population at almost 1.4 billion, followed by India at 1.3 billion, then the next most populous nations, the United States, Indonesia, Pakistan, and Nigeria, combined have something like around 1 billion people. In the year 2020, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, there are 7.6 billion inhabitants on planet Earth. So many people. And of the over 7 billion people, according to some estimates, there are 4,200 religions, churches, denominations, faith groups, etc. In fact, it's actually difficult to number them because there are so many beliefs. Now, when we boil all of this down, when we talk about so many religions, so many sects and beliefs, we're talking about virtual billions who know nothing of God's plan of salvation for mankind. But here we are, blessed with this knowledge, celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, gathered together to picture what it will be like in the kingdom of God, a wonderful part of God's plan. And there are many scriptures, many prophecies that picture that glorious future. And we will be hearing many of those scriptures during this Feast of Tabernacles. But do we stop and think, especially as we begin this Feast of Tabernacles now, do we think about and consider that all of the world, eventually everyone on the planet, will be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles that we are celebrating now? It's a glorious picture. Please turn with me to Psalm chapter 22 to begin the sermon this evening. Psalm chapter 22. And Psalm 22 is a focus on the Messiah, Jesus Christ, principally most of the chapter focusing on the first time that he came to this earth, the suffering that he went through and his sacrifice. But then the chapter moves to the end of the chapter, a few verses talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Psalm chapter 22, and let's begin reading in verse number 27. Psalm 22, verse 27 reads, "All the ends of the world," notice the future tense here now, "shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you." We see the phrase, "all the ends of the world." The Companion Bible says this is a figure of speech for the people dwelling in the farthest regions, all the families of the earth. There are some key words here in verse number 22. Notice the word remember, and notice the word turn. This word remember, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, says for men, remembering results in action. Remembering results in action. And what will happen in the future? Men will, and women, all people will be turned to action, remembering to keep God's laws, his Sabbath, and his holy days. And they will turn in repentance. Remember and turn will be done by all, in obedience and repentance, major steps for a restored relationship with God. Verse number 28 gives us the time setting. Verse 28, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." Looking to the future, when Christ returns and rules over all the world, and all the families of the earth will worship God in repentance and obedience, steps to a restored relationship with our great God. The title of tonight's sermon is, "All the Families of the Earth Shall Worship." All the families of the earth shall worship. Tonight we will see that all of the world will worship the true God in the millennium, in contrast to what we see today. And they will worship by means of a restored relationship with him. Now we are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, and we are looking forward to the time of the millennium when Christ will be ruling, and big changes will take place. Wonderful physical changes will take place, but even more importantly, spiritual changes will take place. We look forward to that time. We live in a world and a country today that has and is turning its back on God. We see fighting, violence, threats from rogue nations around the world, the testing of nuclear devices, poverty, corruption, and death. But the good news inside of God's word is that will change, but it will take the return of Jesus Christ to do it. Let's go back now to verse number 27 and notice this word, remember. I like a comment from Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown's commentary about this word, remember. It says, "They shall then remember him whom they have so long forgotten by apostasy and turn to him." Forgotten by apostasy. In the 6,000 years approximately of mankind's history, man has forgotten God, but they will be called to remembrance, to worship the true God. Also, when we consider this word, remember, what is the only commandment that specifically begins with the word remember? The Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that's the one the world likes to forget. But in the kingdom, they're going to remember to keep the Sabbath day and to keep the holy days as well. We see here in verse number 28 a description of Jesus Christ ruling over the world. And obviously, we know that has not happened yet. But we look forward to the day when he will return to this earth and rule from Jerusalem. Let's continue on now in verse number 29. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust, and that's everyone that dies, all those who go down to the dust shall bow before him. Even he who cannot keep himself alive. Talking about mortal man. So verse number 29 is talking about all classes of people worshiping God. The paraphrase of verse 29 reads like this. Both proud and humble together, all who are mortal, born to die, shall worship him. But notice this phrase in the second stanza of verse number 29, shall eat and worship. Notice that eating is connected with worshiping. And that's what we are doing here at the feast. What we are doing pictures the future. But let me ask the question, why eat? Why are we eating at the feast? And why will people eat at Christ's return in connection with worshiping? The answer is because eating pictures a restored relationship with God. When we go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis, man's fall into sin and turning away from God was in connection with eating. Of course, influenced by the serpent, Satan the devil. But that action of eating and turning away from God broke the relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. But God, in his infinite wisdom, had a plan to put right this broken relationship. His feasts, which he calls my feasts in Leviticus chapter 23, which picture his plan of salvation for all of mankind. Let's go now to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. We'll read verses 22 through 26. God had a plan for putting it right, this broken relationship. And we come to the feast to picture that time when God will begin to restore the broken relationship with mankind. And of course, we know it will be a process. It will be a process. Now, to give you a little bit of background here of what we're going to read in Deuteronomy, God, through Moses, is addressing the new generation of the children of Israel that would go into the promised land. They are not in the land of Canaan yet. They are on the east side of the Jordan River in the 11th month of the 40th year after coming out of Egypt. And Moses is giving them a series of sermons. So we're going to read now verses 22 through 26. And this paragraph begins with a command to set aside the tenth, but then it goes into an invitation to a celebration. Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Verse 23. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. Before the Lord your God means in his presence, to eat before his presence. Now this word eat here in verse number 23, our English word eat, comes from a Hebrew word akal, spelled A-K-A-L, and the basic meaning of that word is to consume. We understand that, we eat, we consume food. But the theological word book of the Old Testament says there's a second context for the root, and it's used in worship or devotion. And that's the way the word eat is used here in this section of Scripture, as a means of worship or devotion, used in association with a relationship with God. And that's what we are doing here at the Feast of Tabernacles, building that relationship with our great God as we learn more of his way of life and look forward to the future when all mankind will worship before him. Continuing on now, in the middle of the verse, the tithe of your grain and your wine, your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. That's what Israel was commissioned to do, and what we are commissioned to do as well, to learn to fear our great God. When we investigate into this word fear, we understand that that means to worship and revere God. We could paraphrase that and put God first in our lives. Worship and revere him. Verse 24, continuing on. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you when the Lord your God has blessed you, verse 25, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place the Lord your God chooses. Verse 26, and you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. And that's what we do when we put aside our tithe and come to the feast. For oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. And notice this, you shall eat there before the Lord your God. It's repeated in this section of Scripture, to eat before God's presence. And you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall eat, and you shall rejoice. It is a feast. It is a banquet in God's presence. But why so much eating, and why so much joy? The reason is, the theme of eating pictures a restored relationship with God as celebrated by the feast that God has ordained, while looking to the ultimate relationship of being part of the family of God in the kingdom of God. Eating at the feast pictures a restored relationship with God that all will have in the future. Like we read in Psalm chapter 22, they shall eat and worship. Think about that as you eat during the Feast of Tabernacles, what that pictures. We are picturing during this Feast of Tabernacles a restored relationship for mankind with God in the kingdom. No wonder God says, you shall rejoice for 7 days, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25. Let's take a look at a prophecy at the great banquet that God will prepare after the judgment of his enemies, a feast for the whole world that we picture during this Feast of Tabernacles. Isaiah chapter 25, and we will begin reading in verse number 26. After the judgment of God's enemies, we come to Isaiah 25, verse number 6. And in this mountain, and a mountain is symbolic of government, talking about God's government on this earth with Jesus Christ ruling. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees, a feast, a banquet, and all people will come together. Verse number 7, and he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. Here we see in verse number 7 that God will remove the veil of deception that has been upon this world throughout our history, the veil that causes nations and peoples to worship false gods and days that are not God's feasts. The veil of deception will be removed, and the road to salvation will be taught. And once people begin to repent and realize the great significance of Jesus Christ's sacrifice and that their sins are forgiven, following the formula in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, then they will be on their way to having their relationship restored with God. What a wonderful picture. Continuing on, verse number 8, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. That phrase, the Lord has spoken, we could paraphrase that in modern English like, take it to the bank, it will be done. Verse number 9, and it will be said in that day, that glorious day that we look forward to, behold, this is our God. I tell my congregations that this word behold is there to catch our attention, because something very important, something very significant follows that word behold. And here it says, behold, this is our God. People who never knew God, perhaps people who never opened their Bible in their lives, people in strange religions, they're going to be taught who the true God is. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. The road to salvation is going to be taught. This is the Lord. We have waited for him, and we will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. When the veil of deception is lifted, what we pictured on the Day of Atonement, when Satan is put away, hope will be restored. Part of what we are picturing here at the feast. And at last, the knowledge of God will be taught to the world. God's way of life will be taught as part of restoring the relationship between God and man. Psalm chapter 67. Psalm chapter 67. We're going to read this whole psalm. It's a short one. It's a prophecy of God's kingdom on earth. Expositor's commentary says this is a harvest festival song associated with the Feast of Tabernacles. Psalm chapter 67 and verse number 1. Verse 1, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And with a restored relationship with mankind, they will receive God's blessing and his face will shine upon them. Verse number 2, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Your way may be known on earth. That will be fulfilled in the kingdom. Apostasy, that will be gone. Verse number 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And here's the time setting now. For you judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. And only Jesus Christ can govern righteously. We've seen in our history, and we see it today, mankind does not have the capability to judge the way that we need to do, to rule the way that we need to be ruled. But Christ can do it. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse number 6, this will be the results of Christ ruling on this earth and the abundance that will take place. Verse 6, then the earth shall yield her increase. Wonderful physical blessings, abundance. But even beyond that, spiritual increase that will take place. Notice the last part of verse number 6. God, our own God, shall bless us. Because people will recognize who the true God is. Verse 7, God shall bless us with a restored relationship between mankind and God, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The results of God's way being known, salvation spreading, righteous judgment, increased agricultural production, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him, worshiping and revering the true God. But it will take the return of Jesus Christ for this to happen. Isaiah chapter 45, the world will be taught who the true God is, and they will worship him. Isaiah chapter 45, we'll be reading verses 22 through 25. Isaiah chapter 45, verse number 22. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Imagine that statement being made and announced throughout all the earth. I am the true God and there is no other. People will be listening. Attention will be gained. Verse number 23. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. And what is righteousness? All your commandments are righteousness. That word is going out. And it shall not return that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. I was listening to the song that was sung by the choir, and I had no idea that they were going to be singing and corresponding to what I was going to be speaking on this evening, but it went well together. That to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall take an oath. Verse 24, he shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. People are going to understand what righteousness is and true strength, spiritual strength that will help them to restore their relationship with God. To him men shall come and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. Verse 25, in the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. The scriptures will be opened. People will be taught to obey. As it says here in verse 22, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And this prophecy will be fulfilled when Christ returns to this earth and begins to rule over all. Now, as we begin to wind down here now this evening, I want to talk about one more aspect, a must for a restored relationship with God. And that is true peace. Christ will teach peace among the nations, a must for a restored relationship with God. Zechariah chapter 9, the making of peace has messianic overtones, and Jesus Christ is the one who will be teaching peace. Zechariah chapter 9, again as we wind down here now in the sermon this evening, Zechariah chapter 9, let's read verse number 10. Verse number 9 describes Christ's first coming to this earth, that he's lowly, afflicted as a sacrifice and having salvation. So verse number 9 describes his first coming to the earth. And then verse number 10 describes his second coming, which will happen yet in the future, and we are waiting for his return. Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 10. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, the war chariot and weapons of war, and the horse from Jerusalem, the battle horse, again describing weapons of war being destroyed. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. Peace will be taught. In fact, the Moffat translation says, his words make peace for nations. Jesus Christ will teach how to go about peace, where it starts, the type of character that is needed, while pointing to his representatives, his first fruits, who will be examples of peacemakers, and show how to live according to God's laws. And that's where it has a personal impact for each and every one of us, to be those teachers, those shepherds, and those helpers in the kingdom. And we'll learn about more of that during this feast. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Then real results will happen when people are taught from God's word, taught from God's law, being taught by those that Christ sends out to teach. We look forward to that time when all the world will worship our great God. Final scripture, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We'll go to the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, writing here in Philippians chapter 2, is describing Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who lowered himself down from the glory of God to become a human being, to die for all of our sins. He's describing that in this section of scripture. And we're going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Again, a section talking about Christ. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. And this is true of all time, and it will be even more true in the future. Verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And finally, verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee should bow, and every tongue shall confess. And brethren, when this is fulfilled, we will be living in a different and a better world. So let's reflect, as we go through these days of the Feast of Tabernacles now, upon the glorious future that awaits all mankind when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and sets up the thousand-year rule, God's kingdom on this earth, and begins the process of a restored relationship with all of mankind. And all of the families of the earth will worship the true God and remember and turn to him. That is what the billions on this planet need today: the return of Jesus Christ to establish the kingdom of God. Have a wonderful evening and a very wonderful and profitable Feast of Tabernacles.